In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have just gone back in time, have we not? It is a spring day in about the year 30 AD or 30 CE, and we are in Jerusalem. Two processions enter Jerusalem from opposite directions. One could be described as a peasant procession, a little like what we have just done. And the other is an imperial one. From the east, proclaiming the kingdom of God, comes Jesus with his followers. And from the west comes Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of that region, proclaiming the power of the empire. He is there with his troops to be available in case of trouble as we near the time of Jewish Passover. Now, the two processions are actually on a collision course to the heart of Jerusalem, not just physically, but socially and theologically. Both processions fill the air with sound. On the one hand, Jesus' followers and the crowd around shout for joy, praising God, as we have just done. But perhaps there is an undercurrent of something else with that crowd. Some have actually described it as a mock parade welcome, with some critics on the sidelines, a gentle parody of a triumphal march. Now, that doesn't apply to any of us today, but I'm talking about 30 CE. Meanwhile, on the other side of the city, we have all the sounds of the military, marching feet and clanking armour and drums. But in the centre of all that noise, in the peasant procession from the east, is a figure on a donkey, wordless, peaceful. The eternal Word, creator of all, is seated silently and calmly and is surrounded by clamour, which is driven by the fickle madness of the crowd. The whole city is in turmoil, we are told, and the Greek word used there is often used to describe the effects of an earthquake, or perhaps a cyclone. And Jesus, silent in the eye of the storm, is headed to the heart of Jerusalem, where further madness awaits. His is such a humble figure, seated on an animal that G.K. Chesterton, the writer in his poem The Donkey, described the donkey as the tattered outlaw of the earth. Jesus is indeed an unexpectedly meek and humble king. The humility of Jesus is the divine humility, entering fully into our human condition. It is the utter self-emptying of God, as we read in the Philippians portion today, which is actually a hymn, that reading from Philippians. So what we do is meet God in the humility he has chosen in Jesus Christ. This humble God has come to be with us. I think for most of us, our lives are full of noise, are they not? The external noise, the clamour of traffic, the phone calls coming in, the notifications, the shriek of the latest news item. And then there's our internal noise, the doubts, the anxieties, the angers, the inner conflicts between parts of ourselves. For most of us, this is our daily reality, I think. Yet today, even as we are in the grasp of that more superficial reality, we are actually being called to a deeper reality. We are actually called to undertake two journeys that take us into a deeper reality at the heart of all things. The first journey is the one that we today and in the coming week in the liturgies carry us along with Christ. You see, Jesus does not steer us away from the gates to Jerusalem and send us back to the peaceful countryside. In this most holy of weeks, we will journey with Christ, who is inexhaustible divine love walking with us, and we journey into the very heart of our faith. And in this first journey, this coming week, we will not be just retelling the story of Jesus' rejection, crucifixion, death, and resurrection, but we will be reenacting it through symbolic ritual action that involves our whole selves, just like this morning. We retell it as we deeply immerse ourselves in bodily action as well as word, from Palm Sunday today through the week to Holy Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil, and Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. And every part of us, if we are willing, becomes involved in the journey which ultimately is God's whole glorious plan of salvation. And what about the second journey? Well, the second journey to which we are called is an interior one, into the silent heart of God, who is continually giving of himself. We are called into that silent space where we see Jesus dwell today. The space we see him in on the donkey. The space from which he will emerge to weep over the tragedy of Jerusalem and to swiftly clean out the temple. And then, of course, there is the silence of Good Friday as Jesus hangs on the cross. And that transition space, the liminal space of Holy Saturday when Jesus is silent in the tomb. So the contrast between the noise of today, Palm Sunday, and the silence through the week ahead is a very important one for us to acknowledge and go through. It is indeed a holy silence. The silent joy of this second journey is already within us because God is our homeland and we are constantly being called by God into that home. As St. Augustine says, from the noise that is around us to the joys that are silent, why do we rush about looking for God, who is already here at home with us? So let us encounter the powerful humility of God in Christ this week as we deeply immerse ourselves in the entire liturgical journey leading to resurrection life. God says to us today, come with me into the deep silence of my love, which is and always has been calling to you. Amen.